Now, we find the chief captain getting this, being forewarned, he's forearmed. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me." Now, verse 23, "And he called unto him 2 centurions, saying, Make ready 200 soldiers. You see, a centurion had 100 soldiers and under it. And so make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 60 and spearmen 200, and at the third hour of the night." Now, friends, this is quite an army that's going to escort Paul down to Caesarea. And again, somebody says, is this what you call trust in the Lord? Well, of course, it's the captain here that's doing it. But Paul had called for this type of protection. And again, this is perfectly legitimate. And Paul, again, is in the will of God in doing this. But it reveals the danger that there was to the life of Paul and that they intended to put him to death. Now we're told here, "And they provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor." Now the governor was down at Caesarea. That was the place where Pilate had been. Apparently Caesarea and the ruins are there today. It was a Roman city. It's a delightful place there on the coast. And I can understand why these Romans would rather live there than Jerusalem. Now, I do not mean to go against David. David loved Jerusalem. I go along with the Romans. I would take the coast city anytime. It was such a delightful place when we were there. And I got very cold in Jerusalem. Now, will you notice? And now they're getting ready to send Paul down to Felix. He's the governor, and he's in Caesarea, and that removes him from the immediate danger. And he wrote a letter after this manner. Now, notice this letter, and it's after this manner, which means Dr. Luke probably didn't have access to the letter, but he gives us the sense of it. And it may be literal. I'm not going to argue that, but Dr. Luke makes it clear that it was after this manner. Listen to him now, verse 26. "Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greeting." It was very formal. And you notice you don't sign letters in that day. You put your name up front, not at the end of the letter. "This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman." You see, this Roman official in Jerusalem just wants the governor to know he's doing his duty. He's protecting Roman citizens. That's good. Verse 28. "And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth unto their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds." And actually, this Roman official in Jerusalem, he never did know exactly what the charge was against Paul, other than it pertained to that law. Now, verse 30, "And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee, and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him." Farewell. That's a formal letter, isn't it? "Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea, delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, he says, I'll hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall." Now, Paul is put in prison down at Caesarea, and he's waiting for his accusers to come.